I want to begin by saying I'd like to thank my pastor. First of all, giving reverence to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you to my pastor, who's the angel of this house, for the opportunity to stand in his pulpit one more time, and to St. John's family. I'm really happy about this occasion. This is November, in the month in which we celebrate Thanksgiving. And that is kind of a theme for the month of November, is giving thanks. And so I would like to call your attention to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 18th verse. Before I read it, though, let me pray. Lord, I just ask that you would let me down into the depths of your word, Lord, and that you would use me, that a sermon, whatever I have to say today, would touch somebody's heart, that it would draw somebody closer to you, Lord, and that your name would get the glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the text is 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 18th verse. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. I'm reminded of a story I heard of a family sitting down for the holiday dinner, and it was customary for everyone to go to give thanks as they went around the table. And it was a big family, so it was a large table, and a lot of people were praying, and it was just about time to eat, and everybody's waiting to eat, and it got to this little boy. And so this little boy began to pray. He began to give thanks. He says, "Thank you for my puppy. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you, thank you, thank you." He just went on and on. The uncles and aunts started to put their forks down. People was hungry, waiting to eat. And this little guy was just so thankful. He just kept on giving thanks. You know, when I read this epistle, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I looked at what was going on in Thessalonica at the time. And so what Paul commends that they would do was, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so as I studied this text, I found out, first of all, that this church had been planted by the Apostle Paul. Silas and Timothy had started this church. But what had happened was, they had started this church. Paul first went to the synagogue, which was customary for Jewish people to do. And he converted some people there. And then they started a church. And what happened was, when the Jews found out about it, they expelled Paul from the city of Thessalonians. Paul barely escaped with his life. They called him a charlatan. They tried everything they could do to discredit the apostles. And so the apostles had left, and they wound up in Corinth. So Paul had sent Timothy back to find out how the church was doing. And they found out the church was doing well and that things were going good, but they had questions. And so they wrote these questions. Timothy brought these questions back to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is addressing some of the issues that are going on with this church. And they wanted to know when the Lord would return. Now, as we would also. Now, in that time, you know, Jesus had just been crucified, and Paul was an apostle that was dispatched to the Gentiles, and this new church is formed, and they wanted to know when would when the Lord would return. Some people had stopped working because they felt, what's the use of going to work? You know, the Lord's going to be back any day now. And so Paul answers, and he begins with in the fifth chapter, he says, but of all the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail unto a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so the apostles had already told the church, Jesus had left word as to no man know the hour. And we know that no man knows the hour, but when the Lord cometh, it shall be like a thief in the night. And so he says, I don't need to write you about that because you already know. And so as I read through these scriptures, I began to reflect on the events of the last few months that we have had in this country, and the things that are going on. And so the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, and he talks about giving thanks. And one of the things that stood out for me with the questions that the church had is that when we talk about giving thanks, oftentimes when we've had a successful year, we have a good job, just got married, things that we like, we give thanks. But one of the things I found out about the gospel, when they talk about praising God and giving thanks, it's not contingent on the circumstances. It's not that their circumstances were so great that they were giving thanks to God. They was giving thanks to God because he was so great. They was giving thanks to God because he had made things possible. An example, you know, I know that I'm living on borrowed time. Praise God. I give thanks to God in all things, knowing that he has made it able. And so one of the things that Paul says, it says, we give thanks unto God always, making mention of you in our prayers. Remember, they had been ran out of town. Remember, without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. You know, St. John, what we do here, the work that we do here, is not in vain. God knows and God cares about us. The Apostle Paul wrote the church of Thessalonians, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. You know, heaven knows, heaven cares, and heaven is watching. And so don't ever feel like what we do is in vain. It says, for our gospel came to you in word, not only in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and is much assurance as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You know, the word of God is not just being here in church, listening to somebody talk. The word of God is an active force. The Holy Spirit is active in our lives. These words that I'm reading from way back then when they wrote applies to us today. If we're living in the word of God, we have his assurance. And then we have his examples. Paul was a tent maker, and he didn't want to burden the church that was struggling to establish itself. And so he, by example, sat down with them to make tents. Now, he could have asked the church to support him, but he chose to do that which was beneficial to the church. And so he worked making tents, and he said to those that were there, so this gospel was not given in word only, but in power, the power of the Holy Ghost, and this Bible is, it says the Holy Ghost, which is King James Version, and some of the newer versions it says the Holy Spirit, but they're one and the same. We're not led astray by high-sounding words, by empty words. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost will help us to discern the word of God and empower you to live by the word of God. There are many people preaching a gospel that is not the true gospel. That's a false gospel that'll lead you to believe that everything is going to be good, just as long as you give your tithes, just as long as you you can do whatever you want, God is going to save you. I heard of one person that was really prominent in the gospel where everybody was going to be saved. And God is a loving God. And, you know, that is really a misleading, misleading way to preach the gospel, because the gospel is a good news, bad news gospel. The bad news is that all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God and in need of a Savior. The good news is that God has sent a Savior that can save us from our sins and redeem us from our unrighteousness. What were the circumstances of Thessalonica? Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, founded the church. They were taken, and they were expelled. And Timothy, just like Paul and Silas, your situation may not be all rosy. I just like to encourage you to give thanks, as Paul had encouraged the Thessalonians. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Jesus Christ concerning you. So the Apostle Paul penned these words in difficult situations and difficult circumstances. In fact, the church was under persecution, but he writes, in everything, give thanks. And I think one of the keys to learning how to be grateful for what you have, to give thanks for what you have, like the little boy at the table, giving thanks for everything he had. You know, I've learned that even in loss, I give thanks for my brother Rudy. We had it for 27 years. I thank you for those 27 years. I thank you for the pain that I went through in those 27 years. I thank God for my mother and my father that's no longer here, and for my stepfather. You know, I thank God for my Aunt Eva and my Aunt Mary. I am grateful to be able to be here in this situation. Paul says to thank God in everything. Chapter 5, it said, but of times and seasons, brethren, ye know I need not write you, for you yourselves know the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In the church that believed that Jesus would return soon, so they quit working and became a burden to the church. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. You know, Paul was an example working among them and showing them so that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. And so he's encouraging them to work. And if you don't work, you don't eat. He's encouraging them to work and not to quit. We're in this world. We're not of this world. And so we have to exist in this world. And so we have to do the things that are necessary. And the reason I'm looking at this right now is because of all the things that are going on in this country and this life, and how big of a change, or how big of a how much of a difference this election have been than all the other ones. Paul even talks to us about believers that died, which is one of the questions that the Thessalonians had for him. And he explains we have to face death. Paul referred to death as being asleep. Jesus also referred to death as being asleep when he said, is Lazarus dead? He said, Lazarus is falling asleep. And he said, well, if he's asleep, why are we going? He said, Lazarus is dead. And so the Christian belief, or the Christian, what we know is that when we are going to be living life eternal with Christ, and so we don't use the idea of death, but being of sleep. And so Paul says, 1 Corinthians 4, I believe 11 verse says, no, I'm sorry, the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others have no hope. Even in death we have hope, in remembering as Christians we are given eternal life in Jesus Christ, who has saved us from the lake of fire. Even though we do suffer, but not as those that have no hope. Remember the word hope in the Bible. The hope that God gives is different than the hope that the world gives. The world gives a hope. I hope this happens. I hope that happened. I hope I don't miss the bus. But the hope that God gives is to look forward to with certainty. This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This hope I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The 11th verse says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned This is Philippians 4:11. I have learned in whatsoever state that therewith to be content. The Apostle Paul is not saying his happiness does. The Apostle Paul is saying that his happiness does not depend on his circumstances. So I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If we can learn to be content with where we are in life, we're able to maintain a thankful spirit, a joyful spirit. Paul and Silas and Timothy sent Timothy back to check on the church to Thessalonica and found the church to be doing well. This gave Paul great joy in that the word of God continued to spread in the church was growing. And so Paul wrote this letter to address some of the problems that arose in the church. Paul admonished 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, and 8. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, we have to be on guard in this present world today, because the devil is still going around seeking who he can devour and to destroy. And this is, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. And so we have to put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, over you in the Lord, and admonish them, and admonish you. Know your pastor and ministerial staff, your deacons, deaconess, teachers, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You know, this is very important. The word love and being at peace is very important with our fellowship, with our community, keeping us together. Remember that during this time with the Christian church being under persecution, being murdered, if people found out that you were a Christian, they had to protect each other by being secretive, knowing what to do and when they could speak, when they could not speak. If a person was a Christian, the whole household would be Christian, because it would be necessary for the safety of those that are believers, that everybody would be believers. Quench not the spirit. You know, when we become believers, God's spirit is put in us, the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, when you do something wrong, you know when you do something wrong, because the spirit lets you know that you're going the wrong way. Quench not the spirit. You know, one of the things that I see that Paul is writing is that the sin can easily beset us. And so we have to have no fellowship with darkness. Paul said, encourage the church of Thessalonica to avoid even having the appearance of sin, and to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. You know, like the little boy at the dinner table to give thanks for all things. Not all things are, not all things are good, but it says to give thanks in all things. When I was at Lakeview Terrace American Baptist Church, we used to sing a song when we would have our usher meetings, and one of the ushers would lead this song, and it would say, "The Lord is blessing me right now. The Lord is blessing me right now. Woke me up this morning, started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now, right now." Amen. And you know, I just wanted to tell you that when we make it a habit of praising God and worshiping God and having a thankful spirit, you know, I was looking at something that kind of initiated this sermon with me. It was a little clip, and it was a little boy. He says, "There are people that are very poor. All they have is a lot of money." When I saw that, I thought about, you know what? So many people put happiness and money together. It's not the same thing. You can be happy. I've met some people that have been sick, and I've been taking them to the hospital, and they were happier, and they were more pleasant to be with than somebody ain't got nothing wrong with them. So money does not necessarily make you rich. I believe that if we could learn to be thankful to God and we could learn to worship him and praise him, you know, I would be on my way to work in the morning, and there was this one Facebook post. It was a young lady and her daughter, and they were singing this song, Gratefulness. And I would just play that song on my way to work. And I'll tell you, my work day always started off so good when I played some praise music. There was another one, Hezekiah Walker, and there's some other praise songs. But I would just have my own little praise party on my way to work every day. And you know, my days went so much better. It was so, you know, grateful. Gratefulness is flowing through my heart. And I learned that if I could be thankful, if I could be grateful, that God, knowing that God is good, that I have everything that I need, I have everything that I want, and God is blessing me right now. You know, there's a song that says, if you've never done another thing, you've already done enough. Right. You know, if God don't ever do another thing, he carried his cross to a hill called Golgotha, where he was hung on a cross between two thieves. He was hung on a cross to humiliate him. He was hung on a cross that he would die a death that was a mark of shame. But he hung on a cross between two thieves. And he hung there and he died. He died for your sin and he died for mine. He made his grave among men. But the grave couldn't hold him. And so on the third day, he rose again. He rose again early Sunday morning with all power in his hand so that you and I might be able to have salvation and a right to the tree of life. you know, let's be a thankful church. Let's not be a, this is our pastor's anniversary. Yeah, I want to say happy anniversary to you, Pastor Brooks. You know, I'm usually not on the program to make comments and stuff, and so I'm going to take this chance right here and say my piece, but let us be thankful for our pastor. And you know what? Let us give our pastor a thankful church.